My dear brother bishops, your brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, beloved seminarians, sisters and brothers in Christ. At least for the bishop of a diocese, the Chrism Mass is the most beautiful and the most important celebration in the liturgical year, because it in some ways symbolizes what the church is all about. First of all, the title, we refer to this Mass as the Chrism Mass, named after the oil that's consecrated during the liturgy. But sometimes we don't think about the meaning of obvious words. Chrism simply means Christ oil. So we in some ways are celebrating the presence of Christ in the sacramental oils that we celebrate and that we consecrate and bless in today's liturgy. You know, we bless the oil of catechumen and we bless the oil of the sick, and we consecrate the chrism. The word consecrate means to set apart for the work of God. And it's our belief that in the sacramental life of the church, God works through sacramental signs. And so God works through the oil that's named after Jesus, the oil of the Christ. As I said, the Mass symbolizes the reality of the church. And that is this, that all of us in the church are marked as chosen by God with the oil of our baptism. We are marked again in confirmation as a sign that we are publicly sent forth by Christ as his evangelizing apostles in the world. And then some of us, those who are priests and bishops, are chosen from the anointed of the church for a special anointing through which we are then sent out, or sent back to the church rather, to anoint the faithful in the sacramental life of the church. The word Christ, you know, Jesus Christ, is a Latin word that means the Messiah, which in Hebrew means the anointed one of God. So all of us here, because of our baptism confirmation, and those of us who are priests and bishops in ordination, are marked with Christ's oil to be the presence of the Messiah, the saving Lord, in the life of the church. And after our liturgy today, the priests and others who come to the celebration will be given the oils to take them home to the most important place where the church lives in our parishes as a sign of the unity between what we do today and what happens in our parishes. The oil is a sign of our unity with God and his Christ and our unity with one another in the sacramental life of the church. And so today is a celebration for all of us. But in her wisdom, the church has also chosen this day as the one time in the year when there's a public renewal of priestly promises made by the priests of the church. And because so many of you here are priests, we have a large number, don't we? And that pleases us very much, all of us here, to see our priests. Because we have a large number of priests for this celebration, I would like to address the heart of my comments to my brother priests and bishops. You might remember, dear brothers, that last year, Pope Francis, during the Chrism Mass in Rome, his first one as Pope, used a phrase that caught the imagination of the world. And that was the phrase that the shepherds, those of us who are pastors, bishops and priests, should in some way take on the smell of our sheep. You know, those of us from rural areas know that smell is not very good. But what it means is simple. What it means is this, that it's important for those of us who are pastors to spend time with the people we serve. That's how we pick up the smell of the sheep, to know their problems, and to immerse ourselves in the lives of our faithful. That's what it means to smell like sheep. Earlier this year, and I noticed again in his homily at the Chrism Mass this morning, the Holy Father used another important image, and that's the image of oil, which we bless in our liturgy today. He reminded us, all of us, but especially those of us who are priests, that when we are anointed, it's important that we don't become oily. These are the words that he used. My dear brothers, I warn you not to be greasy. Our anointing is not one that greases us, making us unctuous, sumptuous, or presumptuous. We're supposed to be marked with the oil of gladness, the oil of Christ Jesus, but we're not to be unctuous, sumptuous, or presumptuous. So I went to the dictionary and looked up the meaning of those words. Unctuous, affected, exaggerated in our insincere seriousness. My dear brothers, are we simple men of Jesus? Is his image clear through the way we live our priesthood and in our parish communities and in the life of the church? Do we live lives of priestly integrity, the same way on the inside as we want to appear on the outside? Or is there something exaggerated and affected and insincere about our service to the church as priests? We're not to be sumptuous. That word is a little easier for us to understand, I think. We know that to be sumptuous means to be lavish and to be expensive. And in his homily this morning, the Holy Father talked about the joy of poverty in the life of the clergy. That we be men who don't let things or what we own get in the way of our availability and service to God's people. So do we medicate ourselves with things? Is our celibacy, which is supposed to free us for the service of Christ and his people, made us cling to other things and substitute them for genuine service and a genuine relationship with the Lord himself? And finally, I looked at the word presumptuous. No, it has a meaning theologically. We talk about the dangers of presumption and despair, which means presumption means you take the grace of God for granted. But I don't think that's what the Holy Father meant here. There's another definition in the dictionary that says that presumptuous is a behavior or an attitude which is boldly arrogant, and because of that, offensive. You know, I think that for the clergy, if someone would accuse us of being clerical, you know, that somehow we are superior to the faithful who are baptized, that would be a way that we would be presumptuous in the sense that Pope Francis asks us not to be. And he invites us to, as he invited the clergy of Rome in his Chrism Mass this morning, to conversion. Well, if we are the way that the Pope described some priests, how did it happen? How did we get this way? In order to examine that, my mind turned immediately to earlier readings during this Holy Week. Specifically Tuesday and yesterday, yesterday was Spy Wednesday. And named that because Judas was somehow preparing to betray Jesus. In the Eastern countries, it's referred to as Ugly Wednesday, or the Wednesday of Shadows, because of the shadow that came into the community of the apostles through the action of Judas. And the scripture tells us that at a certain point, Satan entered him. How did this happen? It happened in the same way that it could happen to us. You know, Satan could enter into our lives. We must remember that Judas was one of us. And you probably think of the bishops when you think of the apostles. But all of us share in the apostolic ministry of Jesus through our ordination. The bishop has given you a share in that sacramental reality through your ordination as priests. So he was one of us. He was first of all a disciple. So the laity here who are disciples don't get off without reflecting on themselves. And then he was an apostle. He was one of those who left everything to follow Jesus, as St. Peter said. And he obviously loved the Lord. How does one like him, one like us, become false or disloyal, a traitor, and a betrayer? I think the answer to that question is the same answer you would give to the death of a marriage. How does love die? It doesn't happen suddenly. When a marriage falls apart and when our priesthood falls apart, it's because we allow disappointment to somehow seep into our love. And disappointment turns to self-pity. And self-pity grows into bitterness. And then our hearts turn to other loves, whether it be money, or ambition, or comfort, or independence from the church, or in the case of marriage, sometimes another person. It's in that way, that process of letting disappointment turn into bitterness, and bitterness turn into self-pity, and self-pity turn into bitterness, that our hearts turn to other loves. How do we turn back? Well, the church gives us that process in the season of Lent, which is simply a period for all of us here to turn back. Whether we're priests, deacons, religious, seminarians, or lay faithful, we need to repent, first of all by examining our hearts, where our loves are, and examining our lives, the things that we do. We need to turn to God for forgiveness, and we need to depend on God for a fresh start so that we might recommit ourselves to the promises of the first loves of our lives. All of us here are preparing to do that with the renewal of our baptismal promises at Easter, and those of us who are priests are invited by the church to make that kind of recommitment and renewal in the renewal of our priestly promises today. St. Paul, speaking to the Corinthian community, says of Christians that we should be the aroma of Christ. And we bless the chrism, and in the process of doing that, we add perfume so that it symbolizes the perfume of Christ in the world and in the church. And I would say to my brother priests that it's never enough for us to smell like the sheep. We also have to smell like the aroma of Christ in our service to them. And that is a much better smell for them and for us. Earlier this week, on Tuesday, we heard these words from the prophet Isaiah. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me. "You are my servant," he said to me, "Israel, through whom I show my glory." My dear brother priest, at your ordination, Christ chose you and anointed you for a special work in the church. Each one of you here, without an exception, is a polished arrow hidden in the quiver of the Lord's heart. Sometimes the polish wears off and the blade gets dulled. And when that happens, the arrow, which is a symbol of love, you know, with Valentine's Day, sometimes the arrow is not effective in the proclamation of the gospel. And so the Lord invites you and I to renew our priestly promises again today. Polish the arrow to return into the quiver of the heart of God, and then to be available for the service of the church. My prayer and the prayer of all the family of the church that's gathered here today, for each of you priests, is that the Lord might make that so. Please stand for the renewal of your priestly commitment.